Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for There Is Life After Layoff radio show. Are you a woman struggling with or facing difficult life circumstances? If so, then are you ready to learn how you can transition through life's adversities? Better yet, are you ready to write your rebound story? If you answered yes, I encourage you to stay tuned because my guest tonight will open up with us about her powerful journey and share how even in the midst of her own life-altering adversities, she has been able to restart, refocus, reimagine, and finally to fall into fabulous. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember that I'm not here to point fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. And along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. The goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m., through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And so with that, I say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know that this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You help to drive the show, and that is why we always want to hear from you. So with that said, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, I invite you to call in at 347-324-5246 and then press the number 1. Now, please remember that you only have to press the number 1 if you want to be added into the on-air host queue to make a comment or to ask my guest a question. We will begin taking your calls right after our break at around 7:30, so I certainly do look forward to hearing from you. So now we're ready to get started. I was actually fortunate to have been introduced to tonight's guest by another past guest of the show, Miss Dana Rossa. And so shout out to Dana. I hope you're tuning in this evening, Dana. After Dana so graciously facilitated the introduction, my guest shared her powerful testimony with me, and instantly I was blown away, okay? Her life story is the epitome of courage in the face of adversity. And so in just a moment, you will really get to understand what I'm talking about. So right now, I'm so ready for you to meet her. It is certainly, without further ado, that I welcome to There Is Life After Layoff, Ms. Cecily Wilson, seasoned broadcast journalist, speaker, visionary, and founder of fallintofabulous.org. Welcome, Cecily, and thank you for joining
me
this evening.
Wow. I like it. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, it's absolutely my pleasure. And before we get started in the heart of our conversation, Cecily, please take a brief moment and share with our listeners a little bit about yourself. Help us get to know who you are.
Well, I'm a mother, first of all. That's the biggest joy that I have right now. In fact, I'm at my daughter's basketball game doing mommy duties right now, so
well,
I apologize
if you
hear some background noise, right? But I'm a mother of two daughters. I have a 24-year-old and, excuse me, a 26-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And they are my jewels, Chrissy and Nicole. Mm. So, first of all, those are my babies.
Right.
And just being a mother and a sister, a friend, and a girlfriend. So all of that other stuff was kind of, you know, superficial right at this point. But I'm a seasoned broadcast journalist, but that's just my passion.
Right. I hear you because I'm a mom of two as well. I have both at the opposite ends of the spectrum. I have a teenager, then I have a 8-year-old son. So, you know, I definitely understand mommy duties when they call, for sure.
Exactly. Right.
When you and I first spoke, I kind of shared a little bit with you about my journey, where it began, my journey of truth, transparency, and growth is what I call it. After my life-altering experience of being laid off from my corporate job. And so, you know, it was in that moment that I chose not to get stuck, but I chose peace in the midst of that struggle, and I chose to move forward. And so with that said, I always want to connect my guests to my journey and ask you, have you yourself or has anyone you know ever been affected by the negative impact of a layoff, whether it had been forced or self-imposed? And if so, can you explain those circumstances?
No, that's never happened to me ever. No, I'm kidding. Yes, absolutely I have. And in fact, that's kind of carved my life in the story that I'm able to tell now simply because of that layoff.
Wow.
It was 2010, I believe it was, when the last station that I worked for lost funding, and everyone in the newsroom, the department, everywhere, everyone was laid off.
Everyone?
And for 3 years, I floundered. I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening to my life right now? I just did not know what to do. So that was the beginning of my journey.
Wow. So everybody got laid off in that one.
I mean, everyone in that station. And it wasn't at any fault of anyone else's. It was just the station lost funding. It was a public broadcasting station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I won my first Telly Award. And, you know, it was just really a powerful moment for me because I'd just gone through a divorce. Then I, you know, went through this layoff and then spiral. Everything just started to spiral after that. And I'm like, what's happening to my life?
Wow.
Yeah, I've gone through something.
Wow. And I think when you and I spoke, you also shared with me that you had another layoff prior to that as a TV anchor. And it was during that time that you also experienced a life-threatening situation that actually occurred live on air. Can you share with us about that? Because it's
absolutely
very powerful.
Well, it was in 2004,
mm-hmm.
and as a morning anchor, so I was getting up doing early morning news, mm-hmm. and maybe about 2 months prior to that, it was in February, because it was heart month, it was in February, so part of my duties as an anchor then was to do a story on the early warning signs of a stroke. And so I interviewed a woman who was a stroke survivor. Her name is Valerie Green, and I now call her my stroke angel.
Wow.
Valerie Green survived the stroke. She was a, you know, successful businesswoman and literally was, you know, just affected severely by the stroke. Well, I did that story, and as every anchor does, you do the story, and you file it away, and you move on to the next one, roll in the next band-aid.
Right,
and that's
right.
Exactly what I did. Didn't think anything of it.
Mm.
2 months later, I'm having, throughout the months, you know, I'm having these headaches, unexplained headaches. I'm passing out, you know, the slurred speech, and I didn't think anything of it simply because I was going through a divorce. And I'm thinking, I'm getting up early in the morning. I've got the babies to deal with. I'm dealing with this bozo right now because he's getting on my nerves. I'm like, I'm just stressed out.
Right.
What is going on, right?
Right.
But the Lord always has a way of getting your attention when you least expect it.
Yes.
It wasn't until it was lights, camera, and there was no action.
Oh, goodness.
Literally, at 5 a.m. in the morning, the red light comes on. They're cueing me to speak my line, and I could not speak. The words were going on in my head. I could hear it in my head, but the words were not coming out of the mouth. So that line in that movie, do you understand the words
right
coming out of my mouth?
Right,
no.
right.
Because
oh, God.
Nothing was coming out. And
oh,
that's
God.
When I realized, oh, my gosh, something's happening to me. I don't know what it is. So I sat down. I don't know. Well, I do know the Holy Spirit, Saint Cecily, go pull up that story that you did several months ago. I pulled up that story, and I saw unexplained headaches. Okay, check.
Right.
Slurred speech. Check. passing out. Oh, I think I'm having a stroke.
Oh,
and lo
God.
And behold, that's exactly what it was. And it took my speech away. So I could not speak. For about 6 weeks, I had to learn to go through speech therapy again to learn how to speak. And that's when I was like, what is happening to my life? So
wow.
That was a life-altering experience for me.
Wow. That. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine what the people at the station were going through when they were queuing you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, they were just thinking, Cecily, hello, you're on. You're on.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm trying to talk, but I can't.
Oh, goodness.
But, you know, it was just so ironic that just several months earlier, I literally had to do a story on something that was going to save my life, which is why I call Valerie Greene my stroke angel. Had I not done that story, I would never have thought, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I'm not overweight, I don't have any of those symptoms and those signs. I'm not a candidate of a stroke. I was 39 years old. So I was 39 at the time. So I'm like, no, I don't even fit the parameters of this.
Right.
However, stroke doesn't have any certain sign, demographic, you know. It
right.
is what it is, and I learned that the hard way. But what this has given me is an opportunity to really tell that story to other women, other women of color, other women who may be stressed out, who may be doing more than they can really imagine and know that think it's just stress, but it isn't. They can be affected no matter what age, what color, what salary range, it doesn't matter. So,
it doesn't matter. Equal opportunity.
Yes. So I now have the opportunity to use the gift that was almost to spread that word and share and hopefully save someone else's life.
Right. Wow. But you know what? When you said that, God knew the plan. God knew what was coming down the pike, and He, you know, set things up where you were able to meet Valerie, and you did that story. So he armed you with the tool that you needed to get through. And that reminds me of something that I heard on the radio. A gentleman called in and said that, you know, I realized that my journey and my trial and my tribulation that I went through is the solution to someone else's problem.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what I feel happened in your situation. Why do you think that women especially tend to overlook or dismiss the signs of stroke?
I think it's because we're nurturers. We take everything on, and because we're always so preoccupied with taking care of everyone else, we don't have time to think about getting sick. We don't have time to think about, if I get sick, you know, everything is going to go to hell in a handbasket. So we're not thinking about ourselves, and that's the worst thing that we can absolutely do. Because now I realize that if Cecily's not healthy, if Cecily's not well, I can't handle anything else.
You can't take care of anybody else. That's right.
You can't. And then the other side of that coin is that if you're sick and you literally fall and you can't get up and you're talking about, I've got this job to do, I've got people depending on me, I've got to do this, that job is still going to keep rolling. They're going to move in the next stand-in without you. And they're like, she was such a great employee. Oh, we feel so bad for her. Okay, hey, you got that report for me?
Exactly. I learned that in corporate America. There is no such thing as job security. They'll keep it moving because the bottom line has to be met regardless.
Absolutely.
And they'll just keep it moving. And then, you know, they'll tell you, oh, we're sorry. You know, they'll keep it moving. And it keeps on rolling, you know.
That is it.
Exactly. What do you think, what should a person do if they suspect that they may be experiencing signs of a stroke? What would you tell them?
So there's an acronym for stroke. It's called FAST. And so it's FAST. So F for the facial. If you're noticing your face is slurred and you can't smile, if one of your smiles are going up and one is going down, then you need to call 911. Your arms. If you hold your arms up and one is falling down, that's a sign. That's a warning. S. As you're speaking and it's kind of slurred and you can't understand what you're saying, again, that's a sign. And T, you know, time is money. Time is valuable. Mm-hmm. So get to the emergency room quickly so that they can, you know, time loss is brain loss is what they call it. So that's really what you have to do. So you fast is move fast. And it's always better to be on the side of caution versus saying, oh, I wish I should have, could have, but rather than it's rather to be safe than sorry. So
exactly.
Go.
So remember that acronym, people, is FAST. F-A-S-T,
F-A-S-T.
Facial, arms, speaking, and time. My husband had a situation with one of his coworkers was experiencing signs of a stroke, and they got him to the hospital where in enough time to where they could pretty much almost reverse, I guess, some of the symptoms of it. And
yeah.
That's why they say it's time is of the essence when it comes to stroke victims.
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. Yes. And here's the thing. That wasn't the first time. 10 years later, it happened again. Just last year, 2016, celebrating, getting ready for my 50th birthday. And it's ironic that I was getting ready for my 40th birthday when I had the first stroke.
Ooh.
And then the second one, as I'm getting ready to turn 50. And again, not a drinker, not a smoker, not anything, didn't have any signs or anything. And thinking, okay, I'm literally this time I'm sitting in my office. And at this point, I'm the director of community relations for the YMCA of Central Florida. So I'm sitting in my office with a colleague of mine, and he's talking to me, but drool kept coming out of my mouth. And I don't mean to be graphic, but I just couldn't keep the spit in my mouth. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? I'm like, okay. And I literally zoned out. He was talking to me, and I'm like, okay, something's not right because I'm trying to talk, but I kept trying to wipe the spit off around my mouth. I says, you know, something's going on. I'm going to go home and go to sleep, right? I think I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I go home, and I tell my daughter, I tell Nicole, I says, Mommy, don't mess with me. I don't want to make any phone calls. Don't give me the phone. Just Mommy is tired. I'm going to go to sleep. Find something to eat in the kitchen, and just I'll wake you up in the morning for school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to bed, but thank you that Lord has angels of protection all around you, right?
Yes.
I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning at 5:30 to get her ready for school, and I go into the bathroom, and I start to brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't really, again, the spit wasn't staying in my mouth. And I'm like, something's going on here. So anyway, and I look in my I look in the mirror, and my face looked a little weird. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's just sleepy face. And then I tried to smile. I smiled, one side of my face was up, and the other side wouldn't move. Then I started to panic just a little bit. I'm like, okay, this is nothing. Let me go wake up Nicole. So when I went to wake up Nicole, those were the first words that I tried to speak. I tried to wake up Nicole, and I'm saying, Nicole.
Right.
Oh, the words just would not come out of my mouth. Again, I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, this is happening again. By the time Nicole woke up, she's like, Mommy, why are you speaking funny? I'm like, Mommy's fine. I don't know. I didn't want to panic her, but I was panicking. I'm like, okay, so get to school. Call your daddy. Daddy's going to pick you up, and then Mommy will be in the hospital. I'm going to go to the hospital. Found out, here it is again. This time, I'm out for 4 months because I could not speak. That is the time where the relationship with the Lord the relationship had already been fixed and strong, but it got even stronger after that because I says, you know what? This is happening again. There's a reason it's happening, and this is the reason that my voice is being taken away. And it's like Satan clearly knows that there's power in my words.
Yeah.
Power in my words. And he's trying to shut the sister up, right? And I'm like, that ain't happening. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't want any visitors. I don't want to see anybody. I told my mother, my sisters, of course, my family comes to my aid. I'm like, I don't want visitors. I don't want anybody coming to see me because I need to talk to my daddy. That's who I call. I call the Lord my daddy. I need to talk to my daddy, and I need to hear from him because I've got to fight this. I'm not going out like a sucker. That ain't happening.
I know.
So,
I hear that.
What?
Ooh,
I'm not going
powerful.
Out like a sucker. So I literally had to just focus, Allie, and just pray, Lord, if you give me my voice back, I promise you, I'll be intentional with my words. I'll be intentional with my thoughts. I'll be intentional with my deeds. Please just give it back to me. And all I did was focus on getting that speech therapist in my house and working me out like he was a freaking trainer, right? I was playing.
Lord.
I was like, this ain't happening to me. No. So
no.
It really is a way of me. Now I'm so strong in it. And I'm like, okay, Satan, you tried twice and you didn't take me out.
Couldn't
bring it
out.
If you want to. You're going to come back with a nub. Don't play with
that
me.
That is right. You're going to limp home.
Right?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my goodness. But still, you know what? Like you said, the first one, you know, the first stroke, he thought that would get your attention, and then it didn't. You know, he still,
yeah.
I guess, wasn't following the purpose, I believe, that he had for your life.
Yes.
So
wow.
what do you now know was the message that he was trying to get you to understand through these adversities?
That it ain't about Cecily.
Ah.
It's not about Cecily.
Uh-huh.
He needed me to know, because after the first stroke, I had the divorce, lost the job because of the layoff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any money, I lost my home. This is the home that we built and we thought was our dream home. And, you
yeah.
know, all the accoutrements and everything, you know. Oh, we had made it. What?
Yeah, right.
It was on and popping.
Right.
But when everything was taken, literally taken from me, Allie, I am not kidding. I remember it the day in church that I'm usually well put together, you know, and I'm very conscious about what I do, where I go, and how I behave out in public, right? And in church that particular Sunday, and I remember my pastor constantly saying, Cecily, you're going to have to surrender. Surrender everything, right? And I'm like, surrender what? I ain't got nothing. It's gone.
What does he want, right?
What else do he want, right?
Oh,
I remember that day in church and we're praise and worship, and all like this one particular song came on, and all I could do was fall to my knees. I'm literally between the pews.
Jesus.
Crying and just, okay, Uncle, I give whatever you want me to do,
yeah,
I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say.
Mm.
And that was the moment where he said, now, baby girl, you're listening. It's
there
not about CBS. It's not about Fox. It's not about PBS. It's not about your husband. It's about me. I will supply all of your needs. I will give you everything that you need.
Wow.
Not
wow.
anyone else. And once I realized that, Allie, everything was taken away from me. I am not kidding. Literally. And I
Jesus.
Now realize that my voice, my journey, it was a setup for me to have a great comeback. That's what this is. And the story isn't over. This isn't like, oh, she's back on top again, because I'm not.
Right.
But what I know is that I have an opportunity to spread my testimony to other women when they come against life adversity, because it's going to happen. We have a choice.
Yes,
that
we do.
Choice is to stay down there and waddle and have a pity party for one, or to pick up your face off the ground, wipe away those tears, put your big girl panties on and those stilettos, and say, let's fall into fabulous, whatever that looks like. So
exactly.
That is really an opportunity for us to just share this message.
Absolutely. And that leads me to this next point, because when we first spoke, you shared with me how you actually came into that mindset, and you shared a funny story with me about how your friend had to give you a reality check one day after you were complaining about not having enough room for some of your stuff or your shoes. So share with us that funny story, because it is so hilarious.
Well, listen, so again, I told you we built this beautiful home in our gated little community and all of this, right? The theater room and all of this stuff. I had like four closets with four pairs of shoes, shoes and all of the shoes and the closets and everything, all of this stuff. Extra excess stuff, right?
Yeah.
And when I lost it all, I'm like, I moved out of that home, then into a 2-bedroom condo with my daughters. So we were like, my girls were like, are we poor now? I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Bless their heart.
Rich in love, baby girl.
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
So I moved into this two-bedroom condo, and I'm talking to my girlfriend because I'm, like, whining about I got all these shoes, I got all these clothes, and I don't have anywhere to put them. I don't have my big closets anymore. And she's like, shut up, Stephanie. Shut up. And literally she said that. And I'm like, she's like, you stop your whining, because what this is right now is that you have been so blessed.
Yes.
All that excess that you have is because you've been blessed. So what I want you to do, you've got those 250 pairs of shoes, take 50 of them and find a group of women in transition. And I know they're out there, and then you give them those shoes. And I'm like, what? These
what?
Shoes?
What?
My Jimmy Choo?
Right.
I don't think you're talking about these shoes.
Surely
she's
not.
Like, yes. Those shoes.
Not the red bottom.
Right? No, right?
Oh, God.
So I took her up on that challenge, and I said, you know what? Great. And I'm a closet party planner. I love to entertain. Love entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, you know what? What are we going to call this? What are we going to do? And my pastor, Pastor Reva Tim, had recently written a book called When Life Falls Apart. And I remember that. I'm like, wow, When Life Falls Apart, we fall into fabulous. That's what we'll call it. And I'm like, you know what? I can
Brilliant.
Teach them interview skills. I'll go back and I'll show them how to, you know, do an interview and how to, you know, speak on camera or whatever. And I'm like, I've got girlfriends that can do hair, and I'll show them how to do the hair. And let's collect all of these clothes and these shoes, and we'll do a pop-up boutique and make it really fabulous and all of those things. And, yeah, let's do that. And I just started out with a vision, just a thought.
Always.
And what that was, it's turned into me sharing my story with these women who are going through a transition, no matter that transition, be it domestic violence, be it a divorce, be it a layoff, be it a, a sickness, a life-challenging sickness or something. It doesn't matter what that life adversity is. And so now I have the opportunity to say, hey, I can relate. It's going to be okay.
Absolutely.
It's going to be hard. But what we got to do is get up and pick up the pieces and let's keep it moving. Just keep it moving.
Absolutely.
So now, 4 years later, I'm still moving with this nonprofit to support women who are just like you and I, Allie, and women who may be listening to this call right now. Because I can guarantee you there is not a woman on this planet that has gone through something where
That's
life
right.
has knocked them off their horse and they can't make it up.
Yes, absolutely. But you know what? The beauty of all of that is that in order for you to be effective in doing that, you had to have a testimony.
Yeah. You can't fall into that
because
if you've never fallen.
Exactly. So, and I'm not saying that God puts us through these things, you know, but you had to have a testimony in order to be relatable for these women, you know, because people see through that. You know, people can see through and tell whether or not you're being transparent, if you're being honest, and they could see through phoniness. You know what I'm saying? And so by you having the transitional type of stories and adversities that you've had, it just adds credibility to what you're trying to do for them, and it's relatable for them.
And that's exactly it. And I share my journey with the women, and I am very transparent because what they see, they know Cecily, the TV personality. They know Cecily as, this coiffed and, you know, put together woman. But I have to tell them, okay, I look, you know, good right now, but a few years ago, I was anything but. I was a hot mess. I mean, literally a hot mess. But my mother would always say, Cecily, get up. Put the makeup on. Do your hair. Because if you look good, you'll feel good.
That's
and
right.
And some psychological, you know, that kind of helped me through that. So it helps. You know, because we know that. If we look good, we feel a little better. It's all psychological, but it does work. And
it
so that's
work,
what I know. Yeah. I think all of this journey with my voice, God gave me an opportunity to do a profession that I've always dreamed of. I sucked at math. I wanted to be a nurse, but I hate blood. But I always got notes sent home from my mom. My mom would always get notes
Cecily is talking too much in class. We had to move her seat again, you know?
Oh, so I knew that it was my voice that was going to get me where I needed to go.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That
and
is
so,
so
Satan
awesome.
Knew that too, you know?
Yeah.
With
Jeremiah. Yeah.
Here, one of my favorite scriptures, Allie, is Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, that's
which
mine.
Says,
oh, my gosh. You
right?
People on this who listen to this show regularly know that I quote that scripture often. That scripture changed my life.
Yes. Yes.
OMG.
Yes. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans of peace and not of evil that will give you an expected end. Right?
Wow.
And I make it personal, Allie.
Yes.
I say, God, you know the plans you have for Cecily Denise Wilson, plans of
That's
peace
right.
and not of evil, right?
That's
that will
right.
give Cecily Denise Wilson an expected end. So I make
That's
that
right.
personal. I'm like, I'm
Absolutely.
Holding you to it.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. You know what? At this time, this conversation is just too powerful right here. Oh, my goodness. We're going to wind down right now. We're going to pause and we're going to take a short station break. And when we return, we're going to continue with this powerful conversation. And if we have callers, we'll take calls. So just hang on in there with me for a minute, okay? And we'll come back. I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined by my special guest, Cecily Wilson, founder of Fallen to Fabulous. And you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio. So please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with
Hi, this is executive producer Mel D, and we thank you for tuning into today's show. Today's show would not be made possible without the support of our loyal sponsors. If you own a business, offer a service, or are a fan of the show, become a sponsor. Please go to our website at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com to the Advertise With Us page to view and download our new advertising kit. We offer new and affordable opportunities for you to become a part of our shows. And now we return back to our program.
All right, everyone, we're back. If you're just joining us, welcome, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.TheresLifeAfterLayoff.com. If you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. So we are going to pick up where we left off with this powerful conversation with my special guest tonight, Cecily Wilson. And just before the break, Cecily, you just hit the nail on the head with Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I couldn't even scripted that even better. That's like my mantra in life, you know. And you started sharing with us a little bit about Fall Into Fabulous, and your organization it primarily serves women in transition, if I understand you correctly. So, why is it so important for you to reach these women during this important stage of restoration in their lives?
I think it's important because that's exactly where I was, and I think back of when I was going through all of my drama, you know, and I had my sister girls there with me, you know, mm-hmm. and it's always easier to get out of a pit when you have someone holding your hand and pulling you.
Mm.
If you're there by yourself, which is where Satan wants you to think you are, by yourself alone, that's where you just lose sight of everything and the power. You lose the power to get back up. And so Fall Into Fabulous is just that, it's that sisterhood of men and women, because there are some men who are supporting our sisters and their mothers and their friends and saying, come on, girlfriend, let's do this. We got you.
So this is
an opportunity for us to just really embrace. And sometimes, as I said, Allie, we lose sight of our confidence, of our self-esteem, of our worth, of our value, because
well, I mean, I did it. I mean, I thought, okay, I'm not good enough to be on air because I can't find a gig. You know, it's been 3 years and I'm not back on the air. You know, I'm not good enough to be a wife because, you know, we've got a divorce and, you know, and now we've lost our home. And now am I good enough to be a mommy? You know, Cecily, what is wrong with you? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Mm. But my daddy said, you are more than worthy. You are fearlessly and wonderfully made. Those were the words he told me. So I literally had to think back and start to look at those words that I was reading and speak them, because there's power in the tongue, right? So
yes,
I just thought
ma'am.
About it. I couldn't put it into action. So that's why Satan literally has tried to attack my words, and I know that without a shadow of a doubt. So it's really important. I remember when I lost my home. Well, before that, before the divorce, after the divorce, you know, you have to split up everything.
Right.
And so the movers came. I knew that day was coming, but I just didn't know when. But that particular day, the movers called and said, hey, we're here to get the things. And I'm like, what things? They're like, you know, your husband's things. And I'm like, oh my. So I panicked. I just started to hyperventilate. I called a girlfriend, and she literally just came over. She's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I can't even talk. All I could do was cry. All I could do was cry. And so she was there just to wipe my tears. But as they were coming in and out of the house, taking things and moving them out, taking things and moving them out, she said, Cecily, the one thing that you kept saying every time they walked in and out is, I walk by faith.
Not by sight.
I walked by faith, not by sight. I walked around that house just constantly crying with tears coming down my face, snot coming out my nose. I could not. I'm literally the ugly cry, like Oprah says. It was the ugly
the
cry,
ugly
right?
Cry, right?
And those are the words. And I stood on the words that my daddy told me. I don't care what it looks like. I told you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I didn't tell you to take a squat. Just keep moving. I got you. I don't know where I'm going, Dad. No, I got you. I got you. So you walk by faith, not by sight. So I kept saying that. I kept saying that. And they left. Mm-hmm. They come back again like 10 to 15 minutes later. They're like, oh, we forgot something. I'm like, what? What did you forget now?
Right.
We need the sofa. I'm like, the sofa that I'm sitting on? Like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I need to get the sofa. Literally, I break down again, and I'm like, I want that faith, not by faith.
Oh, wow.
Literally, because I slept on the floor with my girlfriend.
Jeez.
Because they had to take the sofa.
Oh,
and
God.
Literally, I felt like my life was just torn apart, and that's where my life just spiraled, right?
Yeah.
But now I know that pain. I know what a woman is going through. Who better to tell someone else how to get out of that than someone who has gone through it? You don't want to know about somebody who's been pregnant and talk about kids who's never had a baby. I don't want to hear from you.
That's right. No credibility.
Right?
No credibility.
There's no credibility there.
None. You can't tell me anything.
No, you can't tell me nothing, right?
Oh, God.
So I've had these trials in my life, and I think it's just a part of my story that the Lord has given to me. And knowing that I have the ability to speak, he knew that, okay, Cecily, you're going to be a journalist. You're going to be able to speak intelligently and articulately and share that mission and that story. I'm going to use you for my good. So it ain't about you, because all my goal at the time was network. I'm straight focused on getting to network, right?
Right.
I didn't care about anything else. It was all about Cecily. It was all about me. And no.
He broke God that said, down.
What?
Yes.
With the quickness. He was like, okay, I've had just about enough of you and your shenanigans, woman. Let me make it clear to you. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, that's funny. God has a sense of humor.
He really does.
He clowns me all the time. All the time. He has a sense of humor. Oh, my goodness. But I know that you and your Fab team are currently planning for an upcoming event in December. So share with us a little bit about that event in December.
Yes, this is an annual event called Fall into Fabulous, and we host multiple women. This time we have 12 women. In the past we've had 20, 25 women. 12 women who are going through an 8-week empowerment course. So we take them through that 8 weeks, starting out in August, July and August, where they focus on financial improvement, credit repair, continuing education, professional development, personal development, and health and wellness. All the things that I went through. So again, I thought about things, and I'm very intentional about getting the experts to come in. I don't facilitate the courses. I get the experts in the community that are, you know, skilled in that area, and facilitate 90-minute workshops every 2 weeks for these women. And it culminates with Fall Into Fabulous. It's like their day of fabulosity. This is the day that we're like, okay, now you've done all of this on the internal side. Now it's time for you to get glammed up. We have professional hairstylists and makeup artists that come in and completely give them a makeover, and then they get to go shopping in the pop-up boutique. There's an empowerment speaker, and then there's a luncheon, and then they have a cute little fashion show where you can see their before shot, and then you say, Allie, come on out now. And Allie comes out with her sass and her confidence and her
esteem
boosted.
How
and it's just a wonderful moment, because now they're like, we got this. Miss Cecily, you did it. I did it. We can all do it. And so it's just an opportunity for them just to feel fabulous. And we know that that transformation doesn't take all in 8 weeks. But what it does, Allie, it plants a seed.
Yes.
And if they continue to water it, continue to practice continue to work on their credit, continue to work on their continuing education, to build their resume, whatever, continue to do that. And before long, God will bless you, and then you will blossom into that beautiful butterfly that you really are supposed to be. So that's what Fall Into Fabulous is all about. It is where we rewrite their comeback story, their rebound story. That's what we like to say. It's a rebound story, because we know we all have a backstory, but it's how we rewrite it. How do we do that?
Exactly. How are the recipients or the participants in Fall Into Fabulous selected? Is there a certain criteria or a selection process for that?
The criteria is to know that you've gone through something and you're challenged. We want those women who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So you've got to have that mindset, right? You've got to be ready to make a change, because if you're not ready, you're going to keep going around that mountain again and again for 40 years and not get it right. And so we want those women. And so the women are nominated through area resource service, social agencies or churches or women's groups or individuals who just know about the program. And they're like, Cecily, I know this woman. And I'm like, okay, is that woman ready? Is she ready to do whatever it takes to make it different? And that's who we want. And there's nothing else. It's free to those women who want to participate. And as a result, we have community support and donors and organizations. We have a Walmart who's a major sponsor of ours. We have our Florida hospital that's here. We have, oh, my gosh, there's so many now. We have so many sponsors that are now coming on board, and I have to apologize because I can't name them all off my head. But we know that every woman in those corporations has a story. UPS, you know? We have UPS on board. And simply because we know that they have women employees, and I can guarantee you they can just ask one woman, have you had something that literally knocked you off your feet?
Yeah.
They're going to say yes. They're going to say yes. And so it relates to anyone and everyone, so which is why we want the community support. We want people to be a part of this, because it's a movement. It's a movement, and it's a silent epidemic is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
A silent epidemic, because so many women live silently in the pain.
Going through.
In the funk, going through and not able to get up, because they're thinking, I'm the only one going through this. I'm so embarrassed.
Been there, done that.
This is happening to me. Right?
Been there, done
that's
that.
That's a lie from the pits of hell.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And that's so... So funny that you say that, because in my first corporate layoff experience back when I was fresh out of college, I felt the same way, and it sent me into a depression, and you know, my self-esteem was in the toilet, because I thought I was I wore my layoff as a badge of shame, you know, and I felt like I was the only one. And it kept me stuck and stagnant. But I feel, I see now when I look back that, like I was sharing with you, God saw that he had a purpose for me. He knew the plan, you know, just like Jeremiah 29:11. He knew that now, these many years later, that I was going to be doing this. So I had to have a test so that I could share the testimony. And, you know, I had to learn something from that experience. And so when I got laid off the second and final time, you know, I knew what not to do, you know.
So, that's right. Because once you've gone through it, you know, okay, no, I remember when I took that left,
right.
I read into a dead end. So I'm going to
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
So what is the actual date of the event in December, and how can people support the this wonderful cause?
December 3rd.
Okay.
December 3rd. I'm sorry, December 3rd is coming up. It's at 11:30 a.m. It's a luncheon in Orlando, Florida.
Right.
And if those of you who are in Orlando may be listening and you would love to participate, definitely come in. And it's a wonderful time. You can find more information about us on the website at fallintofabulous.org. Again, that's fallintofabulous.org. And
awesome.
A lot of information is there. You'll see our website, you'll see sponsorship opportunities, you'll see the events that we have going on, and just some previous pictures from previous years. So, again, this is just a blessing for me, and I hope that it will become a movement throughout throughout our Southeast area and all over. Because
right, exactly.
It's necessary.
So I want you to, before, you know, I get ready to close out the show, I want you to speak to that woman out there who may be going through a rough time, who may be experiencing a period of transition. What are your words of encouragement for her?
Her words are, don't quit, don't give up, and don't believe the lies that are going on in your head. The only voice right now that you need to be listening to is the one that's coming from above. Find a moment of silence where you can drown out all the other stuff that's going on, because it's in the whisper that God will speak to you. He doesn't always speak loudly. He doesn't always speak very boastfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in that whisper that he says, listen, listen, I'm here for you. I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And so I will tell them to read the word.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not what your belief is, find someone, another woman, another friend who can really encourage you to get out of that funk where you are. Don't settle, but look up, because if you continue to look down, you'll stay down.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful right there. Thank you so much. You know, this is just, this has been a blessing to me, and I know it's been a blessing to our listeners. I want to take a moment to just say thank you, Cecily, for joining me this evening and for listening to That Voice Inside of You. Thank you for your commitment to empowering and supporting and encouraging women in transition to restart, refocus, and then reimagine, and then finally fall into their fabulous. So thank you so much for that commitment. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was an honor, and I'm so glad that God has given me the ability to speak those words over the airwaves and hopefully and impart some information into some other woman's life.
Thank you once again. Thank you. You're welcome back anytime.
Absolutely. Thank you. When I come to Atlanta, I'm calling you.
Absolutely. I'm there. Thank you again, Cecily.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Now, as I'm accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. You know, my guest tonight, she shared a funny story of how, in a moment of complaining, a good friend had to give her a reality check. And so this brought to my mind a valuable lesson that I learned from world-renowned Bible teacher Joyce Meyer. Everybody knows that I'm a big follower of her lessons. And one of her many Bible teachings focused on the dangers of complaining. So I wanted to share a little bit of that with you. She writes, complaining is a dangerous business. It can damage or even destroy our relationship with God, your relationships with other people, and even your relationship with yourself. It's easy to complain, we likely don't realize how much we do it. I believe it's one of the most challenging things to overcome. And Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining. Now, that's a pretty clear command and not something anyone can do on their own strength. And so with that, she says, speak God's language. Remember that every word you speak has some kind of effect. Proverbs 18:21 says that our words have the power of life or death in them. The way we speak really does matter. So it makes sense that we should avoid complaining at all costs. I think of complaining as the enemy's language. When we do it, we open the door for him to come into a situation and cause trouble. On the other hand, praise and thanksgiving is God's language. Complaining comes from an ungrateful, prideful attitude of the heart. It causes us to feel that we shouldn't be inconvenienced or have bad things happen to us. It's easy for us to think, why are you making such a big deal out of it when someone else is inconvenienced or struggling? But when we have to deal with the pain ourselves, it's a different story. That's when we say, why is this happening to me? I've learned that there's a better approach. Look for the treasure in every trial. The truth is, I've done most of my spiritual growing during the hardest and most painful times of my life. The trials of life have caused me to press in to God. And as I've done that, he's changed me. He's helped me to develop an attitude of gratitude and humility, which has brought real freedom into my life. What's real freedom? Real freedom is being able to not have my own way and still be just as happy as if I did. So that's a powerful food for thought, and I'd have to agree with her that I have grown the most over this journey during the times that I have been tried and tested, because that's the time when I'm able to look at myself in the mirror, and I still grow and am growing continually every day. And, yes, it's hard to not complain. We do it. You know, it's just a natural reflex. But the next time that you think that you want to start complaining, think about how blessed you are in your life, because the alternative could be a whole lot worse. So that's just a little bit of food for thought as we get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. And, of course, next week we will be taking a little time off to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. And so this is the perfect time for you to catch up on what you've missed. There are several ways that you can catch up on all of the past shows. First, you can always access all of our past recorded podcasts on an automatic play box that is located on the homepage and on the new There Is Life After Layoff show page on the AtlantaLifeRadio.com website. But then for those of you who may be on the go, if you're traveling, you can always download iTunes or the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app on your mobile device. And so those are two very convenient ways. All you have to do is just search for Atlanta Life Radio. And so in addition to catching up on what you may have missed, please remember to also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And you can also connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you'll find me at AllieWard65. And please remember to like us on Facebook by searching at There Is Life After Layoff, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found on Facebook by searching for Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we sincerely say happy Thanksgiving, and thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. Until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And, yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself. No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you love. That's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure. Known has come from you alone.